Yeah, I completely agree with you.
I have to disagree with you. Can I disagree with you with all my heart?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Whoa. Okay, so,
gosh, you know, it's interesting. No one's ever asked me this question before, and I'm saying this for the first time, and it's kind of fascinating.
Crazy, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, am I totally screwed or what?
Yes!
Welcome to Portrait of a Business. I'm your host, Del Williams.
Tell me about your background and all that fun stuff. What got you started in communications?
Gosh, well, what got me started in communications? I've been a speaker literally my whole life. I started when I was 7 years old, and I've pretty much not been off the stage ever since. I was a speaker in high school, competitive speaker in high school, and a competitive speaker in college. In fact, I got a scholarship to go to the number one speech university in the country, where they were national champions for 15 years running, and I was on one of those national championship teams. So I'm a national champion speaker, and it was just a natural for me. It was a very simple fit for me to go into public speaking and communication, just based on my background and my personality and all kinds of things. So I've been a speaker for my whole life. I entered the field of communication really because that is an area of my strength. Again, based on my personality, it was what I studied in college. I have a bachelor's in communication, and then after college, when I was in college, Del, an interesting thing happened to me. I had an advisor tell me, I wanted to be a teacher, and I was pretty sure I wanted to teach communication or public speaking at college. And so I told an advisor this, and he said, "Oh, no, honey, don't do that. Just go get a real job. Teaching college is too hard." And I listened to him, and I graduated, and I went out and got a quote real job. But I was still doing advertising and marketing kinds of things. But I really wanted the chance to teach. And so I ended up getting a job as an enrollment counselor at a university in my area. And when you go to when you work for a university, you get free tuition. And so for my free tuition, I got my first master's degree, and it was in adult education and training. And they gave me the opportunity to finally teach a class at college. Once you have a master's, you can teach. And so I got to finally teach that public speaking class, and I just loved it. And so I started calling all of the colleges and universities here in the Chicago area and said, I've got this master's degree in adult education and training, and I'd love to teach public speaking. And they said, well, you need a master's in public speaking or communication to be able to teach that at our schools. I thought, oh, okay. So I went back when I was working full-time, and I got my second master's, and that was in communication. And finally, when I finished with that degree, I was able to do what I wanted to do and teach communication classes at college, and I just loved it, and did it. I've been doing it since the late 90s, and it was really fabulous, really the job of my dreams and everything I wanted to do. And then when I got pregnant with my second baby, and I had a very difficult childbirth. I don't know if you want me to tell that whole story, but it was very painful and emergency C-section. I nearly died, actually, in childbirth. And so that kind of experience really rocks your foundation. I kind of looked around after recovering from that process. It took about a year emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually to say, okay, I'm still here. Why am I still here? What's this communication, this public speaking stuff all about? And I thought, I want to do something where I can be home with my kids more, but still be sharing my gifts with the world. How can I do that? And that's when my coaching and consulting business was born. And that was in February of 2006 that happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you have a huge following on Twitter. How in the world did you turn your communication over to being able to assist you on Twitter, which so many say, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Well, like a lot of people, I think, Del, I was on Twitter for probably 6 or 8 months before I got it. Before I knew what really I had signed up for. I had seen in a forum that I was a regular member of, a networking group online, and they were talking about this Twitter thing, and I thought, oh, that sounds weird. And one of the people who I was pretty good friends with, she said, oh, no, you got to go sign up for this Twitter thing. It's really cool. I think you would really like it. So I went, and I do with many things online, because I'm really not a technically inclined person in any way, shape, or form. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to sign up for it, like I do a lot of things, and kind of see what happens. So I signed up, and as you know, on Twitter, when you sign up and don't do anything, nothing happens. you get nothing out of it, right? So that's exactly what happened for 6 to 8 months. Occasionally somebody I would hear about this Twitter thing, and I would go in and see if anybody tweeted anything. I didn't even know that was what it was called, but see if anybody tweeted anything to me, or I would put in an occasional tweet and see what happened, and nothing would happen. So I didn't really get it. And then in July of last summer of 2008, I went to my first internet marketing conference. And nobody was teaching Twitter at the time because it was still relatively new. But a lot of people were on Twitter and active on Twitter. And I suddenly got it. The light bulb switched on. And so from July of 2008 to where we are today, just a little more than a year, I have really organically gotten a bunch of followers. And I've done it just by talking to people, by putting out what I feel like is useful information to the people that I can best serve. So when I find something online that I think is interesting or useful, I'll put a link to that. Of course, I like to put out quotations which are inspiring and motivating and helpful. I often will give a communication tip or a public speaking tip for people. So really, I do a whole lot of different things on Twitter, but primarily what I do is I use it to build relationships. And just like, this call wouldn't happen if I didn't build a relationship with you. I mean, you are a perfect example of what people should do on Twitter. I'm just getting a FedEx package. Perfect example of what you two, or what people should do on Twitter. And that's, very early on, you, I think, really liked some of the things that I was tweeting, and so you retweeted them. And for people who don't know what that means, it basically means that you were copying and pasting and putting out to your followers the same things that I was saying and giving me credit. And so you continued to do that and do that and do that. And just by virtue of the fact that I saw that, wow, this is a woman who is interested in the same kinds of things I'm interested in. She's sharing my information with her people. There's probably a synergy here. And that's really how we started our relationship. And it's developed over time. Of course, you and I know we've never met each other in person. Everything has just been really through Twitter and a very, very, very rare occasional email. So Twitter is a fabulous place for developing relationships, and that's why I think I've done so well with it, because as someone who's a communication expert, again, I've got a master's in communication, I really do understand the dynamics of interpersonal communication, and that's what's so cool about Twitter, is Twitter really allows you the opportunity to develop your interpersonal connections with people in a way that is unlike any other online, in my opinion, and I really enjoy it a lot.
Cool. Now, first of all, how is effective communication linked to more cash flow?
That is a great question. That's a great question. Okay. So one of the things that I did early on with my business was I said, okay, people were being attracted to me because they were interested in the communication skills they could learn for their business, right? And so I thought, okay, well, what exactly do they want to know? And so I did a survey of my subscribers, and I think it was all 50 at the time, which is just, you got to start somewhere. So I was starting somewhere. And I'd said to them, send it out to other people. And I found out that people were very interested in learning of all the different communication skills. They were really interested in persuasive skills. And persuasion is one of the skills that you need to be a successful business owner. And I know a lot of people, we really don't like to hear that they have to persuade somebody. It's like, oh, really? I don't want to persuade somebody. I don't want to twist their arm. But honestly, when you think about persuasion as motivating somebody to do something, then it's really not so scary. And so when I looked at that persuasion piece, I said, okay, well, what's the first piece that people need to to have inherent to them in order to persuade someone to do anything, and that's credibility. You have to be believable in order for people to want to open up their wallet and spend money with you. If you are not believable, it doesn't matter what situation people encounter you, whether it's a face-to-face situation, whether they happen to land on your website, whether they are tweeting with you back and forth, or they go to your Twitter profile. It honestly does not matter the situation. You have to come across as someone who is believable, who's credible. And when you do, people will then want to listen to you. And that's really what it boils down to. And when people listen to you, and they get interested in what you have to talk about, and they believe, that's credibility, when they believe that what you have can help them solve a particular problem that they are dealing with, they will be happy to pay you for your services.
Okay. Now, you in your e-course, your credibility and cash flow, you talk about the three C's of credibility. Can you explain what that is and how we
can
use it?
Yes, absolutely. This might be a little bit of a long answer, so feel free to jump in if you've got any clarification questions. But the three C's of credibility, they are, they just went away from my head for like 2 seconds. Isn't that funny? Competence, character, and charisma. Competence, character, and charisma. Okay, those are the three C's, and I'll break them each down. And the definitions for these really are, these are not my definitions. These come from a book that I have used for years, Adler and Towns' Understanding Human Communication. And so in this Understanding Human Communication, they define competence as your expertise on the subject area. Okay, competence is your expertise on the subject area. So what exactly does that mean? Well, it means how can you show people that you are an expert? That's the first layer, the first level of credibility. And so think about that for a minute. How exactly are you going to let people know that you are an expert? What do you think, Del? I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think you can do so that people know that you're an expert?
I would think you would have to be, the information that you provide would have to be from your niche or something like that. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, it definitely. I mean, the information you've got to provide has to be completely accurate. It's got to be, it's really got to be key to the people that you're talking to. So competence definitely is, it comes from making sure that the information is there. So I've got four suggestions. Number one, the first thing that you want to do is if you have any kind of credentials, and I know not everyone does, and you don't need them, but if you happen to have them, make sure that people know what they are. Hey, if you're certified in something, if you have a degree in something that is directly relevant to what you're doing, then by all means, share that information with people. Make sure they know. And it doesn't have to be a situation where, you know, you're in a networking meeting and you walk up to them and you shake hands and you go, "Hi, Felicia Slattery, 2 master's degrees. I mean, that's pretty cheesy. But if you've got a business card, it can say it on your business card. On your website, it could say it on your website, and it's just kind of there and just kind of hanging in the background, but people can see, oh, okay, this person has a credential. Clearly, they know what they're talking about.
What about the person who doesn't have the credentials? They have the experience, but they don't have the credentials.
That's exactly what I was going to address is, you know, you don't have to have any kind of credentials at all. But usually people will go into a business because they have some kind of a background in it. So if you don't have credentials, then you've probably got lots of experience. So talk about your lots of experience, whatever that happens to be. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be professional experience. If your personal experience is something that is transferable to what you're doing professionally, then by all means, talk about that personal experience that relates to the professional. So talking about your experience is a way that people can know, okay, this is somebody who knows what she's doing. Citing outside sources, kind of how I did just a few minutes ago where I said, you know, the definition of this comes from a book called Understanding Human Communication. That doesn't make me look less credible. Some people may think, oh, well, if you're citing outside sources, doesn't that mean that you don't really know what you're talking about? No. If you cite outside sources, it shows people that not only do you know what you're talking about, but number one, you're not making this stuff up. And number two, you know where to go to put your hands on the information that is directly relevant to your area, to your field. So citing outside sources is a great way to communicate your competence. And then finally, sharing any kind of testimonials or anecdotes about clients or people that you've helped. For those of you who've been in business for a little bit of time and you've got some people you've helped, that's a great way to show that you are competent. And then the second C of charisma is character. Okay, and again, the definition, it comes from the same book, Understanding Human Communication, and it's your audience's perception of your honesty and impartiality. Now, I just used the word audience, I know, and in communication, that's what we call anybody that we're talking to, an audience. So this doesn't necessarily have to be in a public speaking context. An audience right now is you and me just talking to each other. You're my audience and I'm your audience. Okay, an audience could be the people listening to this at home. So you at home, you're in my audience at this moment. It could be someone landing on your web page. That's your audience. Or it could be in a public speaking situation where you are talking to a group of folks. So anyway, it's your audience's perception of your honesty and impartiality. And so, you know, you have to think, well, how can you communicate that you are a person of character, that you're someone who's honest and impartial? What do you think, Del? How can you communicate that you're honest and impartial? Any ideas?
Ooh.
I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
I think you would have to, isn't that something that's more seen than done? Consistency or, I'm not sure.
Yes. Exactly. You're getting it. This is something that is more demonstrated than it is spoken. So, for example, I've got four ideas on this. Number one, the first thing you want to do is you want to do your business with absolute integrity. Keep your word. So when you promise someone you're going to do something, you find a way to do it. And don't make any excuses for why you didn't. Make it happen. Make it so. So if you promise you're going to have something to a person by a certain deadline, you're going to make sure you meet that deadline. And if you're pretty sure you can make the deadline, then if you're imposing it yourself, then push it out a little while. Push it out a few hours or a day and promise it later and then get it done at the earlier time that you thought. And now you look like a hero. Okay, because you don't want something unforeseen to come up and, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to be able to get to that today, but I didn't. And, well, I guess the end of the world isn't going to come if they don't get it until tomorrow. Why not just tell them tomorrow to begin with? If you get it to them today, great. Because here's the thing about credibility. If you think about credibility as kind of a suit of armor, and this is your bright, shiny self that you're going to show to the world. When you think of credibility that way, each time that you don't do your business with integrity, each time you get just a little something that isn't quite right, think about that bright, shiny armor getting just like a little chink, a little rock hitting up and, you know, getting a little chink right in the metal. Okay, so is one of those going to ruin your suit of armor look? No, not at all. But the more of those you have, all of a sudden you look like the car in the parking lot that's all beat up. Okay, so think of credibility that way, and you really want to do your best to keep your armor, your credibility, as shiny and clean as you can by doing your business with integrity all the time. Find a way to live up to all of the promises that you make to people. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, the second thing is you want to speak positively of your competition all the time. If you think about when people are, you know, most of us have had jobs and we've all had to go on job interviews at some points in our lives. And, you know, if you remember that advice that people would get is very often a frequent question is, why did you leave your last job? Well, don't ever answer that question, well, I left my last job because my boss was a jerk and I worked with a bunch of idiots. Why do they tell you not to answer that way? Because it doesn't look like the old place was bad. You look like the jerk and the idiot for saying the negative, nasty thing. So it really reflects poorly on you when you speak poorly of your past employer. And the same is true with business. When you speak poorly of your competition, it doesn't necessarily reflect poorly on them. It reflects poorly on you. You come across as a person who may be sour grapes, and people don't want to work with someone like that. You may be seen as someone who's, well, they're just saying that because they're trying to get me to buy from them, okay? So what you want to do is you want to find something positive to say about your competition, and that could be anything. It could be, for example, I occasionally will talk to direct salespeople, and this is an easy example. So, somebody from one makeup company gets asked, well, what about that other makeup company? And they could say, well, pink is one of my favorite colors. So that's a cool, that's cool. I like their packaging and their branding. And they've been around for a real long time. That the other company's been in existence. They obviously are doing something right to serve their customers. Let me tell you about what's different about my product and why our product is really great is because it delivers XYZ. And we do this every time and whatever. Okay, so now what you did was you took the question that someone was really trying to get you to say, something negative about someone else, and you've remained positive, and you've turned the information back to yourself and why doing business with you is the right choice. Okay, and you did it in a positive way. The third thing you can do to communicate your character is in any kind of presentation that you do, you want to provide your audience, and again, the audience of one or audience of many, provide them with what we call a preview and a review and stick to your plan. A preview is kind of like a promise about what we're going to talk about. So at the beginning of a teleseminar, for example, I will always say, so tonight we're going to cover point one, point two, and point three. Okay, and then as I'm going through, I make sure I cover those points in the exact order I promised I would cover them. And then at the end, I come back and I remind them, this is the review, I remind them, I promised you we were going to talk about these three things, and we talked about those three things. And so I'm sticking to my plan. Okay, and so that's important to do. What it does is it sets up a promise to your audience. I promise you we're going to deliver this. When you go through and you deliver that information, they realize, okay, this is somebody who I can trust. They promised they would give it, and they gave it. Okay, so it's important to do that. And then finally, the fourth piece about communicating character is in any communication at all, remain professional at all times. Remain professional at all times. I have a little story I like to share about this to kind of demonstrate that. A couple of years ago, I hadn't purchased a whole lot of things online, and so I was a little wary, but I thought, this looked like something that I really wanted to get, and so I picked it up, and I had a couple of questions about the product, and the product owner had said, if you have any questions, here's my email, feel free to send me an email, and I thought, okay, good. So I asked a couple of questions, and I have to tell you, these questions were not questions that was going to take somebody, a dissertation to write. They wouldn't even be articles length. I mean, they were really yes or no kinds of very short questions. And there was three questions, and I delineated them, and I just, I said, dear so-and-so, thanks so much for this product. I'm excited as I'm digging into it. It looks like exactly what I needed right now. But I do have these three questions, number one, number two, number three. Thanks so much. I look forward to your answers. Sincerely, warmly, Felicia. The answer I got back, honestly, was shocking. I got back an email. It didn't say, now this was from somebody, remember, this is something I bought on the internet. This isn't somebody that I knew. This isn't somebody I had a prior relationship with. So there was no dear Felicia, no thank you for your purchase, none of that. It just opened, and the exact words in the message were, either you want this or you don't.
Oh,
either you want this or you don't. And then didn't answer my questions. Maybe had one or two other lines in there. And then it finished, not, again, thank you for your purchase or good luck or any of that, just the person's initial. And there was nothing below that. There was no, signature line or anything like that. So I thought, I just spent money with you. You said I could ask questions. Oh, my gosh. So I'm feeling, I'm feeling all wrong. So I sit in front of my computer, and I'm, I start typing out, and I can't believe you would say, right? I got this whole, nasty little mean, why would you do that, And then I hit the delete button. And, I thought long and hard, and I waited until the next day to respond. And we actually ended up going around and around a little bit. But I was very professional the entire time. And remember now, I'm the customer in this case, and I really felt like I had been wronged. I just had some questions, and this person was really rude to me. I could have asked my money back at that point, but I didn't because I did want the information. I did want the product. And so we went around and around, and the first thing that happened was I realized that, number one, this person thought that either you want it or you don't was funny. She was being funny. That was her sense of humor. Well, if you don't know someone very well or at all, humor does not come across in email. So be careful with humor in email. That's lesson number one, kind of on the aside. And number two is she had gotten back to me with that answer very quickly. And she thought she was doing me a favor by getting back to me really quickly. Well, it turns out that she was actually on the telephone at the time she had written her answer to me. So now you can kind of see why she hadn't even thought about realizing that, oh, this is a new customer of mine. I should thank this person for the order. I should sign the letter appropriately. She was on the phone having a conversation. She just typed out something that she thought was funny and pithy and sent it on the way. So here she is in her mind not realizing she did anything wrong. Well, again, like I said, we went around and around, and we came to a fine resolution. And here's the best part of the story, Dale. 3 months later, she not only bought something that I put out, it took a class that I was offering, she brought three other paying friends along with her. So by remaining professional in the situation where even I felt I was wronged, I was able to then later on make money from it. Okay, so remaining professional at all times can be difficult, especially when you feel like somebody's done something wrong to you. But it may not come back as directly as mine did, but it will definitely come back to you. People will see you as a person of character, which, again, boosts your credibility. Okay? Crazy story, huh?
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And then the third C of credibility is charisma. And again, this is the audience's perception of your enthusiasm. Woohoo! I got to say that when I say enthusiasm. Of your enthusiasm and your likability. And so, how are you going to communicate that? How are you going to communicate your charisma, your enthusiasm, and your likability to an audience? I'm going to put you on the spot again. What do you think? How can you communicate that you are somebody who is likable?
I think it's your personality and stuff. I'm kind of bubbly.
Yeah, you are. You are kind of bubbly. You know, it does, but not necessarily. You know, people don't have to be bubbly to be seen as someone who is likable. To be seen as enthusiastic, you don't even necessarily have to be bubbly. But you do have to come across as someone who is passionate about what you're doing. And that's my first point that I wanted to make is choose a topic that you just love and you are passionate about. When you have that passion, people are drawn to that. People can see that, and they will get excited with you, even if it's not something that they're necessarily excited about for themselves or their lives. People are very drawn to that excitement. In fact, we see it on Twitter. I know I see it, where people get excited about something, and it gets retweeted, and it gets retweeted again, and because of that passion, that energy, and excitement that's around that idea, people are drawn to that. So that's number one. Number two is smile and laugh. When you smile, when you laugh, people are drawn to you. They can see that, okay, this is somebody who I want to hang out with, who I like. And then the last piece is make direct eye contact. And you may be thinking, for those of you who are doing business offline, making direct eye contact is easy. You go to a meeting, you look somebody in the eye. But how can you do it on the internet? Well, you do it on the internet through your photograph and through video. And you want to look directly into the lens of the camera. That's how you make direct eye contact on the internet, because there is somebody who's looking at the other end of that, who will be looking at your picture or your video, and they're gonna feel like you are right there in their office or in their dining room or living room or kitchen table or wherever. They're gonna feel like you are right there with them, and that's your goal. You want people to do that. In fact, that's what the cool power to me of video is it's as close to being together as the real thing. That's the power of video. And so if you're not using video in your business, by all means, I strongly encourage you to start using video and look directly at the camera. Because if you think about this eye contact thing, and Dell, you've probably seen this before, where people, if they've got something prepared and maybe they're reading it from their screen and they've got their video camera, like a webcam on top of their screen, and they've got their eyes, instead of looking directly at the lens, they're looking at their screen or they're looking down at a piece of paper, it's almost as if there's a speaker speaking to an audience and they're never looking up at the audience and they're just reading from the podium. It's that's really, really ineffective. So when, because you're not making that eye contact and people don't feel like they're having the opportunity to get to know you. And you absolutely want people to have that sense, because when they feel like they know you, they'll start to, they can start to like you and trust you. And of course, everybody is familiar with the know, the like, and the trust model. People do business with those that they know, they like, and they trust. So looking directly into the camera is really crucial. So I don't ever, when I do video, I don't ever write a script and try to memorize a script or try to read something. I just have a couple of key points that I want to make sure I hit on. And then I just flip my camera on and I look at it and I talk. And I'm just a regular person talking to the camera as myself. And that's really one of the most effective ways to build your credibility and your charisma, so that people can see your passion for what you're talking about come through on the video as you're making direct eye contact, quote unquote, as you look through the lens. So that is how you can communicate your charisma. And those are the three C's of credibility.
Wow. Okay. Well, what kinds of information will boost our credibility?
Okay, well, I've talked about some of them, but let's bring it all together. There's really five different pieces of information that you can use to increase your credibility. And of these five, you really want to shoot for three as a minimum. Okay, you want to have three as a minimum, and I'll explain why here in just a second. So the first one that I talked about earlier was credentials. If you've got credentials, flaunt them, right? If you've got them, flaunt them. That's number one. Number two, experience. Any kind of experience you have, if you've got 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years experience with something, make sure people know about that. Okay. The third thing you want to have are facts. Okay, so a definition would be a kind of a fact. So sharing facts are important for people to make sure that they will believe your credibility. Number four are anecdotes. People love stories. I've told a couple of stories here as we've been on the call today. It's really easy for people to remember information when you give it to them in story form. And when you have lots of stories to tell about your area of expertise, you become someone who is much more credible, because clearly you can take a situation that has happened in your life or in the lives of others, and you can relate it and show the lesson in that. Okay, so that's real important. And then number five are statistics. If you've got any kind of statistics, that's really crucial to helping you boost your credibility. Now, I've mentioned the five pieces of information that you can communicate to increase your credibility. And I very specifically did not provide during this call any kind of statistics. Okay, I do that on purpose. Because even though I didn't provide that, do I come across as any less credible?
No.
All right. Good. Phew. So the point is, you don't need to have all of these. Like earlier, you said, well, what if somebody doesn't have credentials? You don't need them. You can talk about your experience, you can give facts, and you can tell stories. And those are three out of the five, okay? Or you can talk about your experience and tell stories and give statistics. Again, three out of the five. So you don't need all five of these to come across as credible. You want to shoot for as many as you can. Three is the ideal number. Three of them is a good number to say that you're going to come across as credible. And then one of the things that I like to share, one of my early mentors was Alicia Forrest. And Alicia used to talk about how you should be the Google for your prospects. And I really like that, because when you want to be the person that people think of when they think of your topic, and this happens to me, I can't tell you, all the time. And on Twitter, people ask me questions, and in my email I get questions from people, hey, I have a presentation coming up. Do you have an idea of what I can do to XYZ, whatever it happens to be? Or, how would you say this? Do you know a tool where I can find whatever? Okay, and so that's what you want to become for your target market, is you want people, when they think of your topic, you don't want them to go to Google to find information. You want them to think of you and come to you. That's how you know that you've achieved ultimate credibility, at least in that one person's eyes, is that instead of going to Google or instead of going to Twitter and asking their tweeps over there on Twitter, they send you an email or they tweet something specifically to you because they know that you are the source that can help them with the information they want.
That makes sense. That makes perfect
sense.
I know, when I was, we had talked before about doing a book, and you have a book coming out, don't you?
I do. Yes,
do
it's tell, called...
Do tell, it's not in your questions, but do tell, do tell.
Do tell. It's called Cash In on Communication, How Small and Home-Based Business Owners Can Succeed by the with the Power of Effective Communication. And so that's the whole title of the book, and it's really designed for people who are like us. They run their businesses from their homes, and people who have service types of businesses. And I actually created a model for effective communication for small business owners and success. And the model, it starts with some of the things we've been talking about today. Inherent to you, you have to be credible, which is the first piece. That's why we spent a lot of time talking about that today. And you also have to be confident in your skills. Being confident also builds your credibility. And when you communicate that confidence and that credibility, people really will be drawn to you. And honestly, they won't say no. And when you are confident, when you confidently share your message, people will believe you. So they really are inherent to the person. And then the rest of the model looks at the things that are external to you and the things that you can do to effectively communicate your message to your ideal market. And all the different pieces. So we talked a little bit about video and article marketing and public speaking and face-to-face communication and all different kinds of ways that you can get your message across to your ideal market. And then, of course, your ideal market is there. And what do they give you? You give them useful, valuable information. They give you cash. That's how the cash flow comes. And so that's kind of the model that I created, and that's in the book. I've also created, because confidence is so important, I actually created a quiz on how the people reading the book can determine their confidence level and what they can do about it if they're not quite as confident as they can be. So I talk about each one then of those pieces. I talk about the inherent pieces, and then I talk about all the different external things that people can do to effectively communicate their message. I've had some contributors to the book, Ken MacArthur, who wrote Impact, How to Get Noticed, Motivate Millions, and Make a Difference in a Noisy World. He wrote the foreword. I have Willie Crawford, who has some information in there about how you can use affiliate marketing. I have Shannon Cherry, who is a public relations expert. She's had 3 of her clients appear on Oprah, so she knows what she's doing for sure. And she talks about getting press and getting on TV and public relations. So I've got some really cool contributors to the book because, of course, I'm not an expert in everything related to communication. So I went and found the experts that I'm friends with and said, hey, you guys, I need your help. And the cool thing is, you know, I've met some really awesome experts in the last few years. And so they were all happy to contribute. So I've got the book is just jam-packed full of information. And finally, the last chapter is about, okay, so now here's all this stuff. How do you avoid being overwhelmed by it all? Because really that's where a lot of people end up truly stuck is, oh my gosh, I have all these things. I have all these ways to get my message out to the world. Where do I start and what do I do first? And so there's even a section on how to avoid overwhelm as well. So I take people through step by step. What do you need to do to be successful in your business? How do you communicate your messages in a way that are effective and powerful? I talk about in the book. There's how do you find and determine your audience? How do you and how can you use budget friendly and even free ways to get your message out to the world? Because that's honestly how I had to develop my business. I didn't have money coming into the business. I was a college professor. They don't make that much money. And on top of that, I was a part time college professor, and my husband has his own business. And so I started my business needing to make money, not with a whole lot to invest. And so I learned very quickly how to leverage the free tools to get my message out. And so I teach others exactly how I did that and how they can too. So the book is packed full of information. Almost everything that I know about effective communication for small businesses is in there. And it will be out in the end of October. So I'm really thrilled about that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Neat. Now, in there, you were talking about free tools that you use to expand your business. I know one of those is your signature speech that you speak about. Am I correct?
Definitely, yes.
You tell? What is that about and who can do it and why should we?
The signature speech is, a lot of people, when they hear signature speech, they think, oh, is that like an elevator speech? You know, is that another way? And really, no. The quote elevator speech, which I can't stand the name of, and I'm probably going to write an anti-elevator speech product before too long, but the elevator speech is a memorized, canned pitch that you deliver in like 10 to 30 seconds when somebody says, hi, what do you do? And they call it an elevator pitch because if you're in an elevator and the doors close and you're just standing there, apparently some people talk in an elevator, I don't know. And they say, what do you do? And so you're able to answer that question very clearly and succinctly. That's not the signature speech. The signature speech is a persuasive presentation that business owners can put together. Those who, they don't want to grow up to be a speaker in their business. They're a graphic designer. They're a virtual assistant. They're a coach. They're a consultant. They're an author. They don't want to be a speaker necessarily. They just want more people to read their book, buy their products, buy their services. And so it's a speech that you designed specifically for your ideal target market so that you can bring them information that is useful and valuable to them. You deliver that over the course of 30 to 60 minutes, depending on how long a particular organization is going to give you. And then at the end of that speech, I teach people, how do you close 100% of an audience? And that's kind of public speaking or sales speak for, how do you get everybody in the room to do what you want them to do? That's what I teach people, and it's a pretty bold claim to say that I can get 100% of an audience to do something and teach people how to do that, but it happens over and over and over again. My clients come back to me after taking the class, and they say, oh, I can't believe it. It really happened. I got everybody to do it. I said, yes, I know, because I'm not making this up. It works. It works and follows a very specific formula, and that's what I teach is the signature speech solution is a formula that's a very step-by-step methodical process. If you can make a recipe, you can follow a recipe, you can write your signature speech, and I show people not only how do you write the speech, but where do you go to get yourself booked, both in your community and online, and then once you are booked, what do you do when you get there and how do you do it and how do you maximize the return on your time there? But, you know, you said, why do we want to do it? Well, you know, I don't know anybody who's not over-the-top crazy busy. And wouldn't it be better if you can get your message out instead of one person at a time or keeping your fingers crossed that somebody runs across your website? Wouldn't it be better if you could talk to 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people at a time by giving them a speech? And you don't even have to market to those 10, 20, 50, or 100 people. The event planner will market you for you. So really all you do is have to get yourself booked, and then they do the marketing for you, which is so cool because then you get to buy into the credibility of that organization. And that organization will, and they turn on their marketing machine to work for you. So it is by far, public speaking, the most powerful and effective way to efficiently get your message out to very, very many people quickly and easily and get the fastest return on your time investment. So that's why people should be doing it.
Okay. So since we've been talking a lot about credibility,
mm-hmm.
you say that the signature speech has a lot to do with that. Tell me about that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, who has the most credibility in any given room? It's usually the person who's asked to come and speak as an expert on a topic area, right? So when you are the person who is invited to come and speak, just by virtue of the fact that you are the person standing up in front of the room, your credibility shoots to the roof. Why would they have invited you to come and speak if you weren't already believable? So that's the first piece, is just by virtue of the fact that you're standing there, you are the expert. That's so cool. So now all of these people are already predisposed to believe what you have to say because, number one, you were invited by this organization, and number two, now you're here, you are, you're standing there in front of them. And then I talked a little bit just a minute ago about being able to borrow the credibility of the organization. So just as an example, one place that people could go to deliver their signature speech would be their local public library. And public libraries, they have they offer free presentations to the public all the time. And most public libraries will announce their schedule in advance, and they do that through multiple channels. They may have an email newsletter that goes out. They may have an actual printed newsletter that goes out. They may have it on their website, which then could be a link back to your website. And so for people who understand what this means, that's a good backlink to you. That boosts you in the Google rankings and is a good thing. You want backlinks to you. They will very often write a press release and send it to the local newspaper. And the local newspaper then will talk about it. And so now you get the credibility of not only the organization itself, but now your name is in the paper. So you've got that credibility. And I got to tell you, you know, when I live in a small town. Our newspaper comes out once a week. And I'm in the Chicago suburbs, but, you know, my little town is way out there. So when I send a press release to my little local newspaper, you'd think that they would print it, right? Like a little small town, how much news could there be? Well, I don't know what it is about me and my press releases, but this little town doesn't want to print my press releases. Now, two towns over, they print everything I send them, including articles and press releases. They print everything. But my little town where I live right here, they don't print my stuff. One time in like 2 years of sending them things, I just don't get it. But guess what? When the public library sends them something, do you think they even think twice about printing it? No. So now, you know, maybe little you may have a hard time getting the local newspaper to print something from you, but your public library is going to be able to get it printed every single time. Right? So now you're able to get yourself into the newspaper by the credibility of the library promoting you. And there's so many cool things about being the speaker. And then your name gets out in your community as the go-to person. And if you don't want to do this in your local community, you can do it online. And you have someone sending out emails about you and come and listen to this person, come and speak. And all of a sudden, another cool thing about this, Dell, is that with the signature speech, not everyone who sees the announcement is going to be able to come to that meeting, whether it's a live meeting or a teleseminar meeting, okay? But that doesn't mean they didn't see it. So now all of a sudden, your name keeps showing up, especially if you're targeting your market clearly. Your name keeps showing up in their inbox. It keeps showing up in front of them as the go-to person for what it is that they need, that you can do for them, however it is that you serve them. That is powerful. That's what continues to build your credibility. So the more you get out there, the more you put yourself out there, again, in front of your ideal target market, the more easily people will think of you so that you can become the Google for your prospects. And when they think of exactly what it is that you do, they automatically will think of you, and that's exactly what you want.
Cool. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you come up with the concept about the signature speech?
Oh, that's a good question. I had been doing my business for about a year, and I shifted gears. I first started in personal relationships, and as I said, when I did that survey, I found out people were much more interested in professional relationship building than they were personal. They were those that were being attracted to me, not that personal relationships is not a big, huge market, because it most certainly is. But for me personally, people wanted to know about business, and so I said, okay, great. And I was invited to go and speak to a virtual group through a virtual conference room. And so I wrote my first speech, my first signature speech, and it's called Credibility and Cash Flow. And it went great. I got everybody who was listening. They all signed up to join my community of subscribers, or as internet marketers would call it, their list. You know, they signed up for my list. And then I was invited to speak in my community. I thought, well, I already have this speech. I'm going to take this speech out. And I used the same speech, and again, the same thing happened. The reason that I was able to do that is because of my training in public speaking and my background. I use something that I didn't develop this. In fact, no one in this century or a century before developed it. It actually came from Aristotle. If you've read Aristotle's rhetoric, most people haven't, it's a formula that he set forth, and it is a persuasive formula that has endured centuries. And it has endured centuries. And in fact, if you've ever seen an infomercial, you've seen the format that Aristotle created in rhetoric. And the reason that it's still used century after century, year after year, day after day, is that it works. And so, no, I didn't invent it. Aristotle did. I only developed it to be very specific to the business audience, so that people who have a business, how do you take this model, this ancient crazy model, and how do you apply it to your business? So I was using it for my own business and getting amazing results. And then I had people start saying, how are you doing that? How does that happen? And that's when I offered my first telecourse in it. And I've been doing it ever since, and that was a couple of years back.
Oh, wow. Okay, Okay, we are coming up on the close.
Mm-hmm.
There are questions that I always ask every interviewee. Fun. What would you consider to be your motto?
What would I consider to be my motto? You know, I don't have an actual whole line worked out for this, but really I believe that people should live their lives the way they want to live them. They should create the experiences for themselves that they want to have in their world. And that's what I've been able to do through my business. And I truly believe that through the power of effective communication, you can create the life that you want, both on a personal level and on a professional level, when you understand and use the basic concepts of effective communication. You get to live the life of your dreams, and that's kind of the way that I live my life, and I try to teach my clients to live their lives the same as well.
Okay, and in 5 years from now, what are we seeing from Felicia Slattery?
5 years. That is such an interesting question, because 5 years ago, if you had asked me if I would have my own business and be traveling around the world and speaking and doing all this stuff, and even more, have something on the internet, like have my own website, I would have said, you're crazy. I have no idea how to do any of that stuff. So here I am. So I don't even know that I could accurately project out 5 years from now. But really, I see, I'm continuing to be home with my children, be a mom to them. So that is really important to me. And I really, I see myself doing bigger stages, creating bigger, more products so that I can reach more people, serve more people, so that they can get their own messages out to their ideal audiences and truly affect their lives for the better. So I see this as growing steadily and becoming something that I will be able to sustain over a lifetime.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Felicia, for being with us. Now tell me where people can get a hold of you online.
Okay, I'm going to give people three different places. For those of you who are really interested in the credibility and cash flow piece, you can go, I've got a free e-course on that. It's called credibilityandcashflow.com. And in case I kind of went through them quickly, those three C's of credibility are there. We didn't talk about the number one key to bringing it all together. That's there. And at the end of the five-part e-course, what people end up with, Dell, is they have a specialized credibility program that's designed specifically for them in their unique business that will help them boost their credibility and get more money. And they're instantly implementable things that they can do. So that's a five-part free e-course. Credibilityandcashflow.com. That's number one. For those of you who are interested if you're interested in the signature speech, you can listen to me talk more about the signature speech at signaturespeechsecrets.com, signaturespeechsecrets with an S.com, and you can get a free downloadable MP3. And if you want to learn more about me and kind of click around and see some free resources, you can go to my main site, and that's communicationtransformation.com. And I know it's a long name and there's a lot of typing, but I truly believe that communication can transform your life. One message delivered powerfully can truly make your life better.
Thank you so much, Felicia. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad I got a chance to do this, Del.
Thank you for joining us on Portrait of a Business today. We hope that you found our tips and advice from our guests to be helpful to you. And please do not hesitate to contact us. You can look at our site, portraitofabusiness.info, for more information.